and welcome to Marooned at MacBite's headquarters. Day 175. How are we all doing? Oh, I need to get into the chat. Mike's doing the news in the studio. How is everybody? Why am I not seeing the chat? Oh, come on. Don't do this to me. Oh, that's the, that's the Brooklyn's chat. Marvellous. Right, as I was. Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan got there first. Hello, Simon. It is indeed time to be macarooned. Hello, Anthony. Hello, Kim. How are we doing? 175. I know, it's scary. Sunday is when I do my weekly review. So I'm looking at like the last week and what's been done, what hasn't been done, and what needs to be bumped forward to next week. We need to revisit my system in Notion, don't we? Anyway, it's all there and I'm looking at it. And obviously, being we were on holiday at the beginning of the month, and I'm looking forward to the month as well. Now Jonathan wants a coconut macaroon. Jonathan, you are so easily led. it's 6 months. It's unbelievable, isn't it? In fact, as I'm looking ahead to my month, I've got like stuff coming up, like paying the house insurance, you know, for when you're robbed, when you're out, that. So I'm looking at that, and obviously October's coming up. And it's Lola's Gotcha Day on the 1st of October. And I thought, I can't believe it's been a year. That is unbelievable. Oh, hello, Deb. Hello. Project iMac. Jonathan. Technically speaking, it's intended to happen. But, you know, obviously we missed setting it up in the holiday. The list of jobs to be done in the holiday, it's framed and put on the wall, but not any of it is actually done. But we did do lots of other stuff. It's not good planning, that, is it? It's not. I honestly, with that, we'll go for it because Mike is going to want an Intel iMac for the next 3 years. It's as simple as that. But I can't help wondering what'll be released in October. And now we're in September. It's like, it's only a few weeks away. I mean, potentially it's 7-8 weeks away, but I can't see Apple. I know they normally have it in September. So to be honest, this week we would normally be going into an Apple event this week. We would be ordering our iPhones and bankrupting ourselves. But that's not happening this year. But surely they're going to want it to happen as soon as possible to give them the best lead up to Black Friday. And they've potentially got the first Apple Silicon Macs coming out. So I honestly don't know. Honestly don't know. We will do it. It's just a matter of when. I can't see us leaving it till Christmas. The RAM situation is still saying 128, so not looking good on the potentially doubling it front, sadly. I'm hopeful that you know, the next ones, the Apple Silicon ones, you know, would let you do that. But then that's just more money, isn't it? Oh, it's terminally depressing trying to pay for Apple stuff. Oh, and Barney's Gotcha Day is coming up soon as well. It's a lovely day to celebrate. With Maya, his birthday was the 12th of March and his Gotcha Day was the 7th of May. So they were only like 7-8 weeks apart because obviously he was a puppy when we got him. Lola's is really different. You know, her birthday's in June, but her Gotcha Day's in October. So it's spread out nicely and we have a little cake and everything. And on my desk right now, you should see it. I've got one tripe stick left in a packet because we're not giving her more than that. You know, it comes out the other end. I've got one schmacko left in a packet and I've got one rodeo stick left in a packet. But she's just turned her nose up at the rodeo stick. She's been very weird at the minute. Very weird with her food. Now she's outside playing with the flattened football. So we'll see how that goes. You've only had Lola a year. It seems like she's been part of the MacBites family for ages. I guess we have only had her a year. She came to stay on the night of the 30th, and that was when the lady asked us, and we said yes on the 1st. But obviously she was visiting royalty before that, and I think she was visiting royalty for over a year. So yeah, on the one hand, it seems like, wow, that went fast. And on the other, you know, in your mind, you're including the time when she was visiting. Oh, she's so adorable. She really is adorable. I'm going to make a note. Barney's got your day. Because we have a birthday list, don't we? And Barney's got your day has got to be on that. Barney's got your day. So cute. Oh, that last night, what was I like with that panda last night? Couldn't leave the thing alone. Oh, it was so adorable. Right, you don't think you're going to be getting a phone this year? Oh, you got the 11 Pro last year. It's not like I can show it off to anyone who use it for anything. That's a very good point, actually. It's going to depend on what's on it, as far as I'm concerned. I had the 7 Plus. What on earth year was that released? But I didn't get the 8, which was brought out the same time as the 10, nor did I get the 10SX, whatever they call the other one. It got complicated around then. So I didn't have anything between the 7 and the 11. I think actually it was what put me off the 10 was the Face ID, because I just assumed you'd be able to do it with a thumbprint as well. And when you couldn't, I was like, no, I'm not bothered about that. And that was why I didn't bother. For at least 2 to 3 years, I didn't bother. But last year, you know, it was starting to get slow. It definitely needed, I mean, I've still got the phone, but it definitely needs a battery replacement. So I figured I would go for it last year, and Mike did too. He had the 7 as well. But we both said, like, well, you know, maybe next year it might be very different. And of course, one of the biggest things was, would it have 5G? But as Jonathan so eruditely points out, what difference does it make if it does? I'm already paying £20 a month for data I'm not using. So I might not bother. I don't know. Honestly, don't know. But it depends on what it's actually got. I mean, I remember a good few years ago when we had the 4 and the 4S, I remember discussing, like, what would you like on it? And there was this concept that had come out of a very tiny nano projector. So you could put your phone down on a desk and there was like a tiny little hole on the side and it projected onto a wall. And I thought that would be amazing. And obviously it never happened. I think they'll do just what they usually do, which it'll be just a tweak to the camera and a tweak here and a tweak there. Oh, by the way, did we mention it's £4,900 and a kidney? And we'll still all go, I'll just go get the kidney. But I can't honestly point to one single feature and think that would be it. If there was that feature, then it's a definite yes. I honestly don't know. You know, Jonathan, that's rather a strange answer from you, because I know you were so interested in the iPad and you said I'd definitely get one if we weren't in lockdown. So with the phone, I thought you would. I think the iPad that's coming out that Trace is so concerned about is actually not the Pro. I think there will be an iPad, but it will be the other one. I don't even know if they have like a global name for it. Basically, the cheaper one. Only obviously we're talking relatively because this is Apple. But yeah, that. Basically, the less expensive one. That's a better way of putting it, isn't it? The less expensive one. And I don't think there's anything they could add to that that would make me buy one. My biggest concern with the iPad, and I think the iPad will come out in March, is I didn't get the 12.9 last time. So this was November 2018. I got the 11 inch and I'm happy with the 11 inch. But as the iPad progresses, I mean, to me, can it replace an iMac? Don't be ridiculous. But it can for some people. For what I do, no, it can't. But there are apps on there and you now have the split view. And I love the keyboard on the 12.9. It's like, what size do you buy? So I wish they hadn't fragmented the size line quite so much. Because I definitely had a use for a mini and I didn't buy one. Because when they updated the mini, I would have bought one. The thing that annoyed me with it, it still uses Pencil 1. Where Pencil 2, you know, once you've used Pencil 2, you don't really want to go back to Pencil 1. And the other reason was they split the memory. I thought, well, what could you get away with? 64 is nice. And they made it 32 and 128. And the 128 was like twice the price that the other one was. And I thought, you know what? Walk away. Leave it alone. Which is not what I should be thinking, because a mini I would use for note taking. in a heartbeat. What I would not want to do is have a 12.9 and be trying to take notes on that. It's just too big and too ungainly to hold for effectively making notes without it being like just in the way. So therefore, because the iPad I've got is two revisions back and an 11 inch, and the 12.9 I've got is even more revisions back than that, it's like, which one would you buy? Tell me which one you would buy. Because I would struggle with that. Now, the last time I struggled with making my mind up, this isn't even a joke, this happened. I did not know which one I was going to buy as we headed out to the Apple store. Now, the thing was, neither of us were concerned about getting it, you know, release day, having all of the party. So we didn't pre-order. But iPads aren't quite like phones for being out of stock on launch day. So we headed off to Team Trafford at the Trafford Centre. And they did have the iPads. So I said, well, you know, I'll know when I see it, was my hope. So Mike had already decided he wanted the big one. He'd never had the 12.9 before, but he had seen mine. So we're stood there with these iPads, pondering. And I think at the time it was the second one. So it was it the second one? Yes, it was. So it was the second gen 12.9 and a 10.2. So at the time, you know, between the 11 and the 12.9, there's less of a difference than between the 10.2 and the 12.9. And there we stood pondering. Well, in the meanwhile, Jane had come on Twitter and said, if you can't make your mind up, why don't you buy both? So as I'm stood there pondering and I'm saying to Mike, I really do feel the 10.2 is the right size. But I also feel that 12.9 is the right size for demos. But it's not as portable. Now, he'd already made his mind up. He knew exactly what he wanted. So I'm pondering. And he said, oh, for crying out loud, just buy the pair. And he picked one of each up and that was the end of that. So then we went to Nero. We have a tradition. When we've been out and we've been purchasing, we went into Cafe Nero for my tea. Tea, no milk. No milk, no sugar, just tea. And we did a Facebook Live and we did an opening of the bag and a showing of what was inside it. And Jane was in fits. She said, we'll just buy both. And that's exactly what I did. But I think at the moment, I don't really have a need to have two. But which one do you buy? Oh, it's tricky. It's tricky. Right. Oh, your Touch ID's never worked. My Touch ID's always great. And I tell you what is a total surprise, a total revelation on the phone, the iPhone 11. The Face ID is stunning. I marvel at times. In the last sort of 3 to 4 days with Face ID, bear in mind here, Mike struggles with it constantly. He ends up putting his PIN in way more than he uses Face ID. I've only ever done the face recognition thing once. But I don't wear glasses all the time. I wear glasses for reading. Mike wears glasses all the time. So obviously when he did it, the instructions are, if you wear glasses all the time, do it with your glasses on. Don't listen to that. It's complete balderdash. Because I did mine, and when I put my glasses on... Oh, chicken's here! Hello, chicken! So when I put my glasses on, it recognises me absolutely fine. And I even have different glasses. So I've got like really tiny glasses, I've got bigger glasses. They're all different strengths. My eyes change on a daily basis. So I just go with it, you know, whatever I can see with today.
Mum said that last night.
That's what I'll wear. It does, it works.
She said she could only manage a couple of hours on the computer because her eyes were that tired.
My eyes don't get tired looking at a computer. It's doing other things that they get tired with. So my Face ID works absolutely fine. And sometimes, and this obviously, I mean, I sound like a cliche of, what was that programme? Terry and June. I'm wandering around and I'm thinking, where are my glasses? Right, and I haven't got my glasses on. So I'm there looking for my glasses. So I pick up a pair of glasses and I put the glasses on. Much later, I'm thinking, can't see that clearly. And I instinctively do what I would do when I'm looking for my glasses. I put my hand on my head where I've shoved my glasses up. And I find a pair of glasses up there as well. So I'm actually wearing two pairs of glasses. I know. Jonathan, this is age for you. This will happen to you. So I pull those glasses down and then I pick my phone up. And you know, it works. I often think, you know, it's that, when I say accurate, it lets me in that easily. I wonder if I could just point it at a brick wall and it would let me in. But Mike struggles manfully with it. So the Touch IDs always work great. And so has the Face ID, but not for Mike. I think you need to redo it without your glasses on.
Probably.
I mean, it's not supposed to make a difference. It's supposed to be all biometric magic, but it doesn't always end up like that, does it? I think if it's never worked, I would be taking it back because that really should work. I've never had a problem with that as long as it's been set up properly. So I always set it up with more than one finger. I actually make a note in my second brain of which fingers I've set up on which devices or it gets complicated. But yeah, I've never had any problems with it. So that. I think if it's under warranty, I think I'd be, well, first of all, redo it. Reprogram the fingers and see how it goes. But other than that, it might be time to take it back. They do say, and I've never experienced this, but I know Kath has, you know, the one that runs the choir.
Yeah.
They do say that older fingers, the skin isn't as elastic or something. Now, not saying that you're old. You know, I've also got friends of 30 who've got the same problem. It's to do with like the moisture in your fingertips. So sometimes when it doesn't work, I take that as an indication, you know, it's too much hand sanitizer. And I put some moisturizer on and leave it like an hour and then try it again. And it does seem to work. So it seems to be quite finickety with it. But it has always worked for me. And I've not had many people that don't get that. I remember your mum kept thinking you had to push it.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult when you're trying to do support over the phone because, you know, COVID. It's like, no, 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 no. Don't push the button. But in her mind, it's the button and she's got to push it. Like, no, just gently put your finger on it. Don't push down. You know, and you're trying to explain it because hers isn't Face ID. Thank God. Or I'd have to talk her through setting the Face ID up. But she got it working in the end. Ooh, the XR in red. Can't see any reason to upgrade unless the new version comes with something amazing. That's where I'm at, Anthony. A couple of months ago, I was definitely going to upgrade. But given that, you know, COVID, we're not really going anywhere. I think I might as well leave it. But again, it's going to depend. It's just going to depend. If you got the Pro, then you probably got the best camera on it anyway. What they could do with the Pro to improve the camera, I'm honestly not sure. Because they now seem to be heading into it's Pro, and that's reflected in the price, but Pro to the level of, like, you would need all the gimbals and other equipment to get the absolute best out of that. Because, to be honest, even if it's the best iPhone that Apple do, if you're running along the street with it and it's bouncing up and down while you're trying to do video, you are not going to turn something professional out of that without the equipment that the pros are using to create these videos that Apple use to entice you to buy the best phone. The idea of the tripe sticks turning Jonathan's stomach. I've got one left if you want one. The smell would knock a donkey out, I'm telling you. How much simpler it would be if Apple had kept Touch ID over Face ID. Totally agree with you, Jonathan. We actually seriously wanted to look at one of the OnePlus phones. We went into O2 and said, you know, I've got a OnePlus. And they were like, it's a 10 now. And I'm like, no, 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 not an Apple phone. No, it's OnePlus. Oh, honestly, trying to get that out of them. Short version was no, they didn't. So we couldn't see it. But theirs has both. It's a totally glass front, no button. But you can use anywhere on the screen as Touch ID. I didn't even think for one second Apple wouldn't do that. And when I said, you know, it does still have Touch ID, doesn't it? This was the 10. It's like, no. What? I couldn't believe it. That's what put me off for 2 years, 3 years, three revisions, I think. But it does work. And it's great, you know, you don't have to interfere with it in any kind of way. But, you know, obviously, when you're wearing masks, I don't think it's an upgrade to say, oh, yes, we've upgraded it for masks. The code ID comes up faster. No, add the Touch ID. Mind you, when we're all wearing gloves, it won't make a difference, will it? We're all in gimp suits. We'll be back to stabbing it in. Oh, they might let us have a stylus then. That would be amazing. Now, there's something, you know, we're talking about. Is there anything that would tempt you? pencil support. Simple as that. Notability, pencil support. And I would. I definitely would. Definitely would. But I said that last year and then I was disappointed because there wasn't one. But it was time to upgrade. This year, it's not necessarily time to upgrade unless you kind of flush with cash and just have nothing else better to do with it, which, yep, to be honest, that does actually qualify this year, doesn't it? How much have we saved not going to all the Catanian dues? Probably more than the phone costs.
Probably.
Yeah.
And the petrol.
And the petrol we've not bought. Not filled the car since last November, me. And, well, I didn't drink the wine in the first place. What else haven't we had? Meals out. Not meals out with the Catanians, meals out. We would have breakfast on a Sunday, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Do you know, and sometimes you could go out and you think, oh, the breakfast is only sort of £8. But by the time you've put, might put a starter with it, and then it's like, well, maybe we won't have breakfast, we'll have lunch with a starter. And then it's like, oh, you've seen the desserts. Before you know it, it's like £38 for lunch. That adds up in a month, doesn't it?
Stone.
And 38 stone by the time you finished as well, yeah. But, you know, we've had none of that this year, so paying for it wouldn't be an issue. It's like you're saying, what kind of use would you get? I know you're using it as you're walking around the house, but it's a lot less use than you would normally get. In fact, the way it's going, I think we couldn't do this, but I think a lot of people probably should to save money. We have 100 gig of data a month, but that's basically our backup internet because now we are in the house 24/7. If the internet goes off, the electric goes off. That's our connection to the world. You would have no idea what was going on in the world if you didn't have your mobile internet. One thing I am doing is I'm keeping my power bricks charged up just in case. We have had a few power cuts, but we went through a couple of phases of having power cuts, didn't we? When we have that, it's like it goes off 6 times in 2 weeks and then not again for 6 years. But this particular phase it went through, it lasted about 4 or 5 months. And the thing was, what was happening, the power was just going off in the night and the electricity board weren't telling us a thing. But when things unceremoniously get turned off like that, they don't all come back on. And one of the things I replaced at least half a dozen times was a switch. I was using a 16-port switch. So it's not connected to the internet directly. It's for Ethernet connections in the house. And I swear, every time the power went off, it all came back on and the computers were up and they were running, but they weren't talking to each other. And you'd look at the switch and the lights wouldn't be right. And you'd be like, I'll just go get another switch then. To the point, they had an offer on, you know, the Black Friday sales? There was an offer on switches. You could buy 3 in a pack. So I said to Mike, I'm just getting 2 boxes of these. And he said, what for? Why do we need 6 switches? And I said, for when they break. And to be honest, we haven't had one break since, touch wood. But what did happen was we put extra ones in. So we took the stress off the single one with extra ones. That's what we did with it. But I would much rather have a choice between Face ID and Touch ID. They don't discount phones for business on launch. So if I do want it, I'd get it after the COVID. If I went on holiday or something. Yeah, the only issue I have with that is, I mean, pretty much with phones, you know there'll be a new one every year. So if you don't get this one, then you know when the next one's coming out. Ballpark, you know, to within a month either way. iPads, not quite so predictable. But if I was definitely going somewhere, it might be an idea. But I wouldn't be going abroad. No way would I risk that in the foreseeable. So it would only be here. I don't think so. Glass Touch ID in the screen. I hope they do. And I'd love to see that happened. And that's why it's a bit late. That they have asked, even if they added like just one area back, it doesn't have to be the whole screen. But do give us that option, because right now there's a real friction getting into the phone. But there again, I'd have to ask, this is a genuine question to people. You are not leaving the house, apart from maybe you walk. Why have you got a lock on it? Why have I got a lock on my phone anymore, Mike? Now, because mine uses Face ID and because I don't wear a mask in the house unless somebody's coming to the door, which I don't encourage, it's not that much of an issue. But if I had to start putting in a passcode, I'd just turn it off. Which probably isn't the best idea, but there you go.
Can you open the window?
Yeah, feel free. So Deb would go for the 12.9-inch. Hello, Tracy. Oh, that is not good news, Tracy. Oh, you are all alone waiting. We are here with you. And of course, our positive thoughts and prayers are going to be with you. Such a worrying, worrying time. I heard a girl talking about the fact she'd been rushed into hospital and she was scared witless because she wasn't allowed any family with her because of the COVID thing. Is that the situation where you are? Because that is just worrying for everybody, isn't it? We are here for you. We are. Chicken is in good voice today. Lola's in a very good mood at the moment. Hello, Pete. Older fingers lose electricity and conductivity. Need moisturising. Lick your finger and try again. Tracy, that breaches every COVID rule known to mankind. But I hear you. I must admit, I do that. I would redo it. And I would be, you know, when it asks you to move it and roll it, I do roll it quite away. There's a good way to do it and a bad way to do it. And the clearer that it is, so maybe moisturise your fingers sort of 10 minutes before you do it. The clearer it is, when you do actually come to use it, the reference might only be like, you know, 80% as good as the original, but it would be enough. But if the original was only 80% and now you've got 80% on this one, then it's not going to let you in every time. I've not had, because I do still have devices, I have iPads and I have phones that still use Touch ID. I've not had one failure with it. So it's definitely not right if yours is misbehaving like that. Oh, Pete spending money. We do like that, Pete. Carbon Copy Cloner. It's a brilliant app. It's like two rolled into one because Super Duper, the other one that I mentioned, it's really only great on the cloning side of it. But Carbon Copy Cloner, even though it kind of implies it's clones, you can actually do standard backups with it. So it's definitely worth every penny as far as I'm concerned. Another one that I had, you still use it, don't you? ChronoSync.
No.
I had one called ChronoSync and I loved it. It was backups where you're backing up. It didn't clone. It was backing up to a particular location, making sure that two locations were in sync. And I loved it. And this particular day, it failed. And it freaked me out that, like, what if I hadn't noticed those two locations, they're not clones of each other, they don't match. What went wrong? And I thought, I'll take the time and I'll go back and I'll retest it. And then once I put Carbon Copy Cloner in place, I thought, actually, there's no need. There's no need to go back to it. So I haven't updated that one. And Anthony's trying BB Edit. BB Edit, I love it. I do love it. If I'm doing manual processing, I do not use BB Edit, which is weird. I wish they'd add in the multiple cursors per line. But the guy who programs BB Edit is very, very focused on how he wants it to work. When they did, I think it was either version 10 or 11. I think it was the switch from 9 to 10. He put in the find and replace thing, he put in like a slight difference. It was ever so slight. It was something to do with searching from the beginning of a document. Oh, did it get metaphysical? Oh, there were arguments on all kinds of levels. Till in the end, he kind of built back in the old option if you wanted to use it. But people kicked off such a stink. So to make a fundamental change to it where it basically works the same as Sublime Text, not seeing it. But the fact that you've got the scripts in the menu and the text factories, there's nothing to touch that in any other editor. In any other editor, you can program it, but you'd have to program it yourself. It doesn't have that kind of interface where it's just a really pretty easy way to program the text. You can use another app, which was the one that we looked at first, but I was using TextSoap and then I realised, you know, is there anything that TextSoap does that BB Edit doesn't, because Text Soap is activated and I've only got one license. And BB Edit pretty much it actually did it better. It did it better because Text Soap is cleaning one file And BB Edit, I managed to make another file. So that saved me 50% of my time in Scrivener. So BB Edit is fabulous. It's not cheap, though, is it, from memory? I think it's cheaper than it was. The original price was eye-watering. BB Edit. Let's go have a look. It was that eye-watering. I was cheeky. I'd moved from Windows to a Mac, but this was at the stage I wasn't actually 100% Mac. I still had a Windows box there, and the Windows box sat there doing my mail for 2 years. Right, BB Edit 13 is $49.99. Well, I can tell you for a fact, BB Edit used to be at least $160, if not more. Probably nearer the $200, because I was coming from the Mac and from Windows, and I didn't have a text editor. So I put in, you know, OS 10 text editor, and up came BB Edit, and I think that was about it. And I thought, right, so clearly BB Edit is the standard. Sublime wasn't a thing at the time. But what was that other one? Oh, TextMate. That was in version one, I think, but we never quite trusted that. So I looked at BB Edit and I thought, well, I'll download it and I'll give it a trial. And it was fine. I was using EditPad Pro on Windows. So I thought, BB Edit, that's fine. So I looked at the price and thought, ouch. I think on Windows, an average text editor was about $20, $25. And this was nearly $200. But there was a line underneath and it said, if you want to use BB Edit, I mean, it's not there anymore because I'm looking at the page. But if you want to buy BB Edit, basically, but you are currently using another text editor, get in touch with us and we'll give you an upgrade price. And I thought, darn it, not got anything on the Mac to upgrade from because I'm a complete Mac newbie. I had a Mac about 4 weeks at the time. So I thought, it's worth a try. So I wrote this email. I clicked on the link and sent this email in and said, not got anything to upgrade from on the Mac. You know, have only just bought a Mac. But on Windows, I use, and I put in your EditPad Pro, put where it was from, etc. And said, you know, I could give you the email confirmation that you purchased it. But, you know, I fully understand that that's I'm asking for a cross-platform upgrade to an app. You know, that's cheeky, was what I was actually thinking. So I sent it in and they came back and said, yep, that's fine. And I got a really, really good discount on it. I think it cost me less, probably about $60, something like that. And they even said, you know, welcome to the Mac platform. Hope you enjoy it, blah, blah, blah. And I thought that was really good of them. So a very nice company to work with as well. And now it's only $49.99. And I know my upgrades are incredibly inexpensive. So I upgrade every time there is a new version, because if you don't, there's a different price. So if you're upgrading from 11, it's $39.99. But if you're upgrading from 12, it's $29.99. Now, I do remember I didn't upgrade from, let me think, 10 to 11. I stuck with 10 for some reason. But they sent a mail and said, OK, 12 is coming out. If you buy 11 now, you'll get a free copy of 12. And you can buy 11 now for $29.99. But when 12 comes out, it's going to cost you $39.99. And I thought it was very good of them to tell you that up front. So I bought 11 and they pinged me a license for 11 and then pinged me a beta access for 12. And it was all a lot less expensive. And you can use it on however many Macs you like, which is fabulous. So can highly, highly recommend BB Edit. If it had pencil support, it reminds you of a Palm Pilot. I don't mean a kind of, you know, little toothpicky thing. I mean literally the Apple Pencil, possibly a cut down version. But I would actually like that. Oh, I had a Sony Cly. I think it's pronounced Cly. Sadly, it died years ago. I did have what was that thing I had? The one that you flipped it Cyan Organizer. Loved that. That was fabulous. But that was about, oh, gosh, over 20 odd years ago, that. About 22 years ago I had that. Loved it. Loved it. Loved the Cly more. Oh, that was fantastic. No, mine doesn't work anymore, but I did love it. It was like a little phone, a little bit shorter than a phone, probably about the size of a BlackBerry, to be honest. And it had a transparent cover on it that you flipped up and there was a pen at the side. And the apps on it were amazing. know, you could have your calendar synchronized with Outlook. And we're talking probably around 2001, 2002. It was stunning. It really was stunning for its time. Absolutely. We'll try the Touch ID. You're on your fourth finger. Try it. It's worth it. You've got to have the lock on the phone because of Apple Pay. Are you using your phone much for Apple Pay at the moment, Jonathan? I've not used mine for ages. I use it on the watch, and obviously on the watch it's got to be attached to the phone, so I guess so. If I was leaving the house, then yes, I wouldn't leave it on. But I'm just thinking, you know, having not been out in 6 months, why is there a lock on any device at all? It's fine as long as you can get it off fast enough. But, you know, when you're out, it'd be even worse if you had a mask on. Aren't they insisting on contactless payments now for virtually everything? So you can't even, like, you know, if you put your card in the card machine, like, don't do that. Well, now we've got to sanitise it. But I'm not going to have an option.
They can't really, can they?
Well, I think they can.
It's over 30 quid.
They're breaking it up into individual £30. Why don't they just take the limit off it? Oh, God, they annoy me. You could spend 30,000 in the Apple Store. I mean, I've got that much credit on my card, but, well, I could. In a heartbeat. What I'm saying is they don't limit you. And yet Tesco's do. Have you seen the price of the Tesco bill? It's more than we've spent in Apple in months. Because you're having to place an order and then place another order because there was stuff missing off the first order. And there's a minimum order. And it's like, well, we'll get the dog more treats. I can't move in the house for stock to start with. It's very strange times,
right,
isn't it?
I'll cut down on stuff.
No, that's fine. It's absolutely fine.
I'm sure there's plenty of stuff we could do without.
There probably is, but that's not the point. We're marooned, so we need treats. Pete's going to need to spend money on a bigger hard drive. Good job they're on offer quite a lot. Oh, Simon was in the cellar all day cleaning and fitting a new pump. Yes, give us that picture. Give it to us. Nice. There it is. Right, I'm going to have a look at that. I'm catching up. I tell you what we need to do, Simon, is a head-to-head, or rather a foot-to-foot with Mike. Why don't you find the one of you in the thongs? Tom MacBites. Thongs for the memory. Oh, they look fantastic. How high did the water come? That's what we need to know. Brilliant. Love it. Oh, Pete'll be back.
He's gone
for his food. Looks like you've shaved your feet. Oh, an Olivetti. No, I think my first one was probably the Cyan Organiser. I mean, it was quite expensive in its day, wasn't it? It was a good £200. But it was a nice thing. Oh, I did have one before that. But I wouldn't say it was an organiser or anything like that. It was about the size of a laptop. But it was very light. And it was an Amstrad thing. They were pitching it as like a word processor. But it was all self-contained. And the battery lasted all day. Because it had just a text-based screen on it. But it had the most amazing keyboard. It was brilliant. But it was too big. It was too big to call an organiser. Let's catch up. Not a cellar you can inhabit. My gran had a cellar, but it didn't need a sump pump. Now, somebody mentioned having a sump pump in the States. And I've heard that on a couple of programmes that I've watched, that there is a kind of cellar, but it gets water in it. Now, we have solid floors, so it's really weird. You know, there is no concept of getting cables and stuff underneath like our other houses. And this one's weird. Used to have an Alpha Smart. Oh, I do remember the name. I do remember that, Anthony. Didn't have one, though. Screen wasn't difficult to see if you had it on your lap. Oh, let me have a look at the picture. I have got no recollection of what that actually looked like, but I do remember the name. They were all quite niche in their day. That was the problem, though. The entire market was fragmented, wasn't it? Yeah, I do remember it looking at it. That's a little bit like this Amstrad one looked. I've got no recollection of what the Amstrad one was called. It wasn't shaped like that, and it didn't have a pen. But the screen was like that. It was very... It was quite wide. It was the width of the device, but quite shallow top to bottom. You could only see a very small bit of the document you were working on. But the keyboard was amazing, which that one looks like a proper travel keyboard. It's weird, isn't it? Because now we've gone to things like, have you heard of the Remarkable? I think it's called Remarkable. The Remarkable 2's just out, RM2. It's a dedicated device to marking up documents. Remarkable 2. Let's see if I can get a link for it. There it is. It's at remarkable.com, unsurprisingly. And I looked at it and I thought, the thing is, no matter how much like paper it feels, no matter how much cheaper than an iPad it feels, you've got that aspect with it that how do you get stuff on it? How do you get stuff off it? You're adding in to the workflow. Good grief. November delivery if you order today. Crying out loud, they're doing it in batches. So if you want November, imagine it'll be November before you turn round, won't it? You need to order that now. And batch 9's opening soon, which you'd need if you wanted it for Christmas. It's basically like a slate. It's incredibly light. It's black and white. It has a very nice screen on it. It's more like, what's that screen protector called? Paper-like, where it feels like paper and it makes a noise like paper. So it's a little bit like that. But my concern with it would be, you know, if you're writing stuff out by hand, great, but wouldn't you want it in an app like Notability or GoodNotes? And it's only black and white. And whatever I put on it, I'm going to have to get off it, which adds to the workflow. But it does look like a nice toy. If they wanted to send me one to review, you know, I wouldn't say no. I'd have a look at it. I might fall in love with it. You don't know, do you? It actually looks very well made. Looks like an iPad. And the pen even looks like an Apple Pencil. It does look a very nice toy, I must admit. It's got extra nibs and stuff as well. And it looks like you transfer it with USB-C. But given the price, let's have a look. £399. Which is cheaper, you know, limited offer. But that's all it does. And I'd be adding to the workflow. So I can't see me buying one. Oh, but never mind. Was that it? Was it an Amstrad NC100? That rings a bell. I think there were two models. I think I had the cheaper one. Because obviously I had PCs and stuff, so it was in addition to, not instead of. Let's have a look. Yep, it looks like that one. I tell you, I don't remember. It was probably there because it looks like that. I don't remember the different coloured keys. But yeah, it must be that one. 28 years ago. Oh, good grief. But look at the keyboard. The keyboard was fabulous. That was back before they decided that keyboards could be really shonky and you'd still buy. The keyboard was amazing back then. You could take notes at quite a pace with that because the keyboard was good. Oh, thank you, Anthony, for finding that link. Oh, that brings back happy memories. There you go, an upgraded variant, the NC200. I wonder if that was... I don't think so. I think I had that one. I definitely did not have the most expensive one. But let's see if that one... What does that one look like? Oh, let's have a look. Good grief, these things are still for sale. Currently unavailable. No, it wasn't the NC200 that had a flip over screen. It was that one. Anthony knew what I had when I didn't know what I had. But it was good. It was good. Oh, a new socket as well. You are really rocking it today, Simon. I'd love to tell you what we did today, but my lips are sealed. That looks amazing, that. Oh, I'm liking that basement cellar. Oh, yeah. And the ladder to it and everything. It looks like the cavern. You need a Beatles sign and open it to tourists. That would be great. You know, I was thinking about my gran's cellar. Make a fabulous studio. Oh, you need a studio down there. It's the only answer. Oh, and Tracy's got one there. Let me have a look at that. The Olivetti. I have no recollection of the Olivetti at all. That one must have passed me by. I don't know how some tech passed me by, but I think that passed me by. Let's have a look. It's thinking of opening it. Where you go? Where you go? Do you know, every time it says that and I say, yes, always do that, it comes back and asks me for the 49th time. But we'll get there in the end with that one. Right, it's opening, it's opening. I'm about to see it. Olivetti, they used to make typewriters, didn't they?
Yeah.
I had a brother. Oh, that is so dinky. A Da Vinci. Oh, now the interface does look like the Sony Cli, doesn't it? The little scratch paddy thing at the bottom. Oh, yes.
I know, a trainer used to work for Olivet.
That looks amazing. Have you still got the ore box? I bet I haven't. Right, let me have a look. I'm now looking at the cellar light. If this chat hangs still for 1 minute, so I can paste in. Right, I'm now looking at the cellar light. I used to think with my gran it was quite creepy, the cellar. But now I can see benefits for it. Very cool. It looks like, you know, like the London dungeons or the York dungeons. The brickwork's beautiful. My gran's, I think it was painted. But now I'd be like, oh, an amazing studio. Let's go down there and make it a studio. It does. It looks like a tourist attraction, Simon. You could open this. Well, obviously not at the moment. Post-COVID, you could open it. I mean, it's better than that thing that Kath went to visit, Bude Tunnel, on a holiday. That was shocking. It looked like a trolley park at Tesco's. That is really cool. I'm loving that. Oh, I wish we had one. But no, there's no way we could do that. There's no way we could even like dig down and do that, sadly. But it would make a great studio and it'd be cool. My grand's cellar was always freezing. That was what my mum objected to about it. Yeah, I'm wondering how much that Olivetti was. Must have been a couple of hundred at least.
You know the house me and Dad were looking at on Vale Road?
Yes.
Around the corner from where they are now. That had a cellar. I'm trying to see if I can find out. I don't even know what number it was.
So you're just randomly looking at people's houses?
Yeah, I've gone to Rightmove.
Do you know, that's not actually a bad price, is it, around the 200 mark? Not for what it is and what it did. It's like the Cavern Club. It is like the Cavern Club. We went there for a private concert about 10 years ago. I'd never been before. At the time, I'd, totally ruined my cruciate ligament and I wouldn't get medical help. So I had a pair of crutches and going down was fine. Coming back up, there's a lot of steps. Let's just say that, there's a lot of steps. I'd never been before and I thought, I've no real idea what to expect. But I loved it. I thought it was great. Our friend is actually a singer. So it had been his dream to appear at the Cavern Club. So his wife does a bit of checking for his 60th birthday. And they actually hire it out for bands. So she got all of the family involved and then surprised him with the fact that he was going to do a gig at the Cavern Club. And they did videos of it and all sorts. And everybody had a go getting up and singing. It was a great do.
I'm gonna take her out.
Okay, then. We'll see you later. Yeah, two shopping deliveries this week. And Lola needs to go out before it's dark.
See you later, gang.
We'll see you later. Right, let's have a look. You were lusting after an Olivetti. They didn't make computers for long. Do you know the one that I lusted after and I didn't get? It was Sharp and they didn't do computers that for that long either. It was a Sharp computer. It was about 1984. I can't remember the model, but it was around 1984. It was a component based thing. It was pretty amazing for its day. I think it's that one, the PC 1500. Could do with some better pictures. That's it there. How was it, the MZ 800? That rings more of a bell. Yep, I think it was that one. So I will get that. That is not a Commodore 64. I know that's not a Commodore 64. I will upload this picky to you. But my rationale for it was, it would have been my first computer. So I had some money burning a hole in my pocket. And I literally did. It was burning a hole in my pocket. My bike had got stolen at college. And, you know, I was of an age where I didn't particularly want to bike to college anyway. And Mum said, well, you know, the insurance has paid out. It's completely up to you what you do with it. And I said, I'd like a computer. And the one that I'd been looking at was the Sharp. Now, that picture that you're looking at, you can see there's like a tape deck in the top right. It had the tape deck if you wanted it. But when you bought it, it basically at the top, the bit on the left carried all the way across. And you could put a tape recorder in it and you docked it into it. It was like a docking station. But you could also, the bit on the left, which looks like a speaker, you could actually swap that out for like a printer. There was a tiny printer that you could put in there. Is it this one? This is another one that shows you same computer, but you can see the top is different. It's got different components in the top. So I'm clicking on that and putting that in there. You can upload that one for me. Go on. You know you want to. So there was the tape recorder component. There was the print component. Now, the only thing with the print component, obviously, is it printed out in like on a toilet roll. It wasn't a proper full-size printer, but it was great for things like receipts or printing out code as you were working on it. And that was the one I wanted. We actually got in the store, Sharp, we're based in Manchester, Newton Heath in Manchester. And we actually got into the store on Deansgate in Manchester to look at it and talk to them about it. Is that the printer? What bit's that? That's the printer. There's one with the printer. Fabulous. So we went in to talk to them about it. And in talking to them, even they didn't see that this thing had legs. So one of the issues back then was, you know, would you get any software for it, basically? That's the third one that shows you the printer in the middle. So there's a paper support at the back of it and the big slot in the middle. That's where the paper, you had to buy special paper, and it went in there as like a thermal printing thing. So there was no ink needed, and then it would come out like a till roll. But even they didn't seem to think that this thing would last that long. So this was about May 1984. And I decided I would leave it alone. But once I'd finished that year, that was when I did get my first computer, which was a Sinclair Spectrum. And then I got the Commodore Amiga after that. But that was the one I actually looked at and very, very nearly bought. I look at it now and think, I wonder how they did it for the price. It was about £140. And that included the tape thing. I think the printer was like another £20. But it's amazing. Gosh, that's reminding me of something I've not thought about for a long, long time. Right, let's have a look here. You're on the main road in a minor town, miles from anywhere. If it was London, it was a million plus. Too right, absolutely. Everywhere's cheaper than London. London's ludicrous. There are things that you see in London every now and then, and it's like there's two houses and between them there's a gap, and the gap is like no more than 3 foot wide or 4 foot wide max, and they build a house and they call it like Bijou. If you want a parking space in London, people pay like £50,000 a year just to park, because it's all permitted. And people who want like a house in London, but they don't have a need for the car because they are happy to use taxis or the underground or something, they buy the house and they defray the cost of the house by taking the parking permit and selling it on at a markup. And it could be enough to pay their mortgage for the year. It's that expensive in London. I had a friend who had a lovely flat. I guess you'd call it a maisonette. It was a beautiful old building, house on two levels. And she had the ground floor flat. And it was lovely. But obviously you had an upstairs neighbour. So it was a detached property. In its day, it probably had servants in it and stuff. But it was split into two rather large flats. And the top one went up for sale. And she decided it would be great if one day she could own both halves and then turn it back into a house. But she didn't have enough to buy it, and she was already paying the mortgage on the one she'd got. But she had a brainwave, and she said to her mum, who lived about 8 miles away, again in London, I think she lived in Hampstead, this was Finchley. Finchley was on the up at the time. I think Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister at the time. And she said to the mum, what if we let out the family house and you move into this flat and we'd be kind of really close, and then eventually we can merge it into one? And that's what they did. So she rented out her property, which was, you know, a big four bedroom house to start with, and she kind of downsized into this flat. So although they did leave it as two separate things, it was going at one day be glued back together. I think each individual flat was over £1 million. So by the time you'd put it back together and it had that kind of cachet as being very unusual, that it was one property, not two, it was probably now in it's about 8 million. I can imagine it. It's heckishly expensive down there. The shark with a tape component would have looked space 1999. It did. I loved it. The keyboard was perfect. I did love the look of the thing. It was just purely the fact, you know, you're not going to get any software for it. So if you weren't writing it, if you were coding with it, fine. But back then, of course, every computer had its own version of BASIC, and something that you wrote on one computer wouldn't run on another. So you really did need to have a computer that was the one you were programming for, basically. And that's how, like Betamax and VHS, Betamax was much better quality, but VHS had the market. So these computers, that one was brilliant. But operating system-wise, it was too niche. And it died pretty quickly afterwards. So I think it actually died within a few months of me not buying it. So it was the right decision not to buy it. But it was a beautiful thing to look at. And, you know, the fact it had its own little printer and stuff. Oh, at its peak, it was lovely. Was Sharp a part of Radio Shack? No, I don't think it was. Sharp were, they made microwaves before they went into computers. So that you'd get like business equipment. I think they did do business equipment. Their biggest claim to fame was originally there were no sponsors, shirt sponsors in the Football League. And when the powers that be decided that they could wear sponsors, you know, they could get shirt sponsors, Sharp, being a Manchester company, sponsored Manchester United, and they did for years, and it was a cachet for both of them. You know, obviously for Sharp, well, we sponsor Manchester United, but United had shirts that said Sharp on them, whereas at the time Liverpool had like Johnson's Paint or Candy Electronics. He didn't have the cachet, so it was good for both of them. But obviously, as time went on, there's no way Sharp could offer the kind of money that the companies that sponsor the shirts now do. But they were the first shirt sponsors of Manchester United. But no, I don't think they were part of Radio Shack. Pumps out about half a bucket of water from the sump every 10 minutes. I've got no experience with any of that at all. 8 years for £200. Definitely worth it then. Oh, you'd find me in a Tandy shop. Oh, Simon, I used to live in there. And I'd go in and it'd be like, I need one of these and one of these and one of these. And then it'd be like, I'll just take some spares and some cable. And have you got any solder? Because I need to solder it all together. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And it was so inexpensive as well. You know, if you were buying a cable and that cable would be like £8, you could go into Radio Shack, which in the UK was called Tandy, and you could get like, you know, the two ends you need, 19 pence each, and then 2 metres of cable for like 40 pence. It was fantastic. My only beef with it was my mum got quite cranky with my dad because he couldn't do the soldering. He had fingers like sausages, and he couldn't do the soldering himself. And obviously he didn't want to pay the kind of price for the cables. So he'd ask me to do it constantly. And the thing that annoyed her was, you know, if you're going to ask somebody for help, keep a smile on your face while they're doing it. But he'd be like, hurry up, hurry up. And she was like, don't be ridiculous. She's got a soldering iron in her hand. You can't rush her. So every time it was like, can you make me a cable? I'd just glance at mum and she'd be glowering. But I loved going into there. And they all, remember the Tandy catalogue, Simon? The Tandy catalogue would be in the newspapers or pop through your door. And then it'd be like, oh, well, they got a sale on this week, and dive straight into it. Oh, yes, Tandy. Absolutely. Love those. Oh, dear. Simon's getting the urge to collect old tech. Don't do it. Mrs. Simon wouldn't approve. $1 million home in Seattle would be worth $100,000 in Ohio. It's amazing because they're the same properties, aren't they? But we found that when we went to Scotland. They had, as we were looking at the properties, it was like, oh, it's £30,000. Oh, wow. We could put it on our credit card. How dinky. Because, you know, a house in Manchester would be the same kind of house that was £30,000 up there. No joke, it would be at least £300,000. At least, but probably more, probably about 500,000. The price difference back then was amazing. That has changed slightly now, because obviously you can virtually work anywhere. So people are choosing to move away from more expensive areas. So it's not that that's bringing the price down where we are. It's not. It's putting the price up in more rural locations, unfortunately. But there's still a huge difference, a huge difference. Right, I need to copy that that I've got highlighted. So let's copy that. Tandy bought out all the Radio Shacks back in the 80s. I thought they were one and the same company. Because when you went into Tandy, the actual branding on the packet of whatever you were buying said Radio Shack. So what I thought was that Tandy and Radio Shack were one and the same, and that they imported their stuff from the States. I knew they were called Radio Shack in the States. But, you know, Radio Shack would not have been a brand name that would have had instant recognition in the UK. I mean, where Tandy came from, I don't know. But it was my understanding they were the same company. Good night, Simon. Good night, Jonathan. You love to be able to get as much cable as you wanted off the roll. That made such a difference. Because, you know, I mean, now you're not too bad now, because you go to Amazon and it's like, would you like a 1 metre, 2 metre, 3 metre, 4 metre? And they're all there. But, you know, back in the day, a cable was probably around 6 foot maximum. And if you just wanted like to hook in a speaker that's 8 foot away, it was like, I'm going to need 5 cables and 3 adapters. And you could just make your own. And I loved it. Did absolutely love that. Oh, Anthony's first setup. Let's have a look at Anthony's first setup. I think somewhere I've got a photograph of my setup from 1988. So I need to find that. What's so funny about it is it's in what is now the studio, which was the smallest of the 3 bedrooms. And there's a big desk in it, which is the desk I still use, although it's all been revamped. And did you know it didn't look unlike that? It did not look like that. Those curtains look familiar. I had like that geometric curtain thing. And this picture that I had, it was a brown desk like that. And on the window ledge, I'd put like a dual deck tape recorder thing in blue. And that was like my entertainment at the time. And you look back at it and he's like, really? But yeah, that was what it looked like. I do like to try and take a picture every year of what my desk looks like, because you think to yourself, oh, it just doesn't change. But the last picture I took must be 2-3 years ago, and it has changed. I've changed my keyboard. I've changed my mouse. I've got these racks at the side that I've got all of the iPads lined up in. And I've got an Echo Show on the other side, stood on top of a little drawer unit that's got 3 drawers in it. And it holds stuff like the remote control for my speakers. And what else have I got in here? Oh, a little pair of headphones. So my AirPods would go in there. Got some plasters in it, and my adapter, my dongle goes in there. So I know where it is and I don't lose it. So actually, my desk is quite different. I used to have a microphone on a stand that was put on the desk as and when. And now I've got the arm on there. And I had one microphone on it originally, and now I've got two. So I really should take another photo, because you don't think much of taking it at the time. It's like, yeah, whatever. But just like that one you've got, it's fantastic to look back on, isn't it? Look at the remote controls. I swear, is that a remote control for a TV on the right? Because I swear we had one that looked just like that. It's for a Sony TV. I had a friend who had that model, but I never had that model. You know, the one where the discs went in at the front on the right. Oh, but happy, happy memories. Reminds me of my university days. That is fantastic, Anthony. And you still love going in Tandy as well. It was, they sold games, they sold toys. Oh, it was just like a treasure trove to go into. I did absolutely love it. The desk was from MFI. Everybody's desk was from MFI back then. I think we had the same one as that. I think it was my dad's in white. And I think the handles on the white one were red, because red was the thing. It went with those curtains. Everything was geometric, and it was primary colours, red, blue, yellow. And I had wallpaper like that. Had little birds on it in that colour. And I think my dad went for the red handles and mum went mad because she would have gone for white. And of course, he was putting this in the living room, needless to say. Oh, crying out loud. My computer contains a time capsule. Do you know, I was thinking yesterday, all through by request last night, I'm thinking I'm going to have to sort this backup out. So today we deployed a new system. Oh, Jonathan's gone. I can mention it. 1-3-3, just saying. I decided to try a new system and I said to Mike, I'm not trying anything unless it's tested. So yesterday we tested it. And it worked absolutely fine. So I said, right, I'll reconfigure the rest of it now I've tested it. So we sat down with it today. I pressed the button and then everything went red and started flashing. And I said, whoa, stop. This is not working at my end. So Mike had a look and he said, not working at mine either. I said, but we tested this yesterday. This is where your time goes. So instantly we had to switch to plan B and then contemplate a plan C to try and make sure that everything worked. But some things you need to do local, and I was trying to deploy a solution in the cloud and it wasn't happening. This is where my time goes, as you so rightly mentioned. Is this what you do in your holiday? Yes, it absolutely is. Yes, that's what we did. The one on the left is for a VHS video recorder. Let me have a look at the one on the left. No, I think that must have been posher than the one I had. It's got like that, you know, the clear bit at the top, like a bit of a screen. I don't think mine had that. My VHS recorders were quite cheap and cheerful, to be honest. But I think that was because I had about five of them and I was ahead of my time. These recorders on the back had kind of ports that nobody used. You know, you couldn't plug anything in and have that plug into a TV. It didn't work that way. But there was these ports. So I remember poring over the instruction manual as to what use these ports were. And then I twigged that, you know, there was an import and an out port. And I thought, if I had two of these and I crossed them over, could I do a tape-to-tape recording? The answer to that was yes. So I ended up buying multiple ones and it meant I could record programs and then keep them on another tape by playing them and recording and take the adverts out. It was very primitive by today's standards, very primitive, but it worked. So it was amazing looking back on it now. Oh, your university setup. Now, I was too mobile. I could have done with a laptop back then. I had my Amiga at home. Oh, that's, look at that word manual. Good grief. When there were manuals, how fabulous. And do you know the other thing you've got that I had? The copy holder. I literally had that copy holder for years and years, and we were in the studio making it more habitable for Mike. So we were changing things around so he can use it on a daily basis for work. And that copy holder was on the shelf. And I took it off the shelf because it's a very awkward thing to store. And I said, you know what? I'm never going to use this again. I said, there's no way I would ever put a piece of paper there and start typing from it. I said, you know, you could do it on your phone these days. Take a photo, OCR it, you're done. So I threw it away. It literally left only about 4 or 5 weeks ago. Look at the laptop as well. I would have loved a laptop like that back then because my computer was back here. But obviously I was in London 3 to 4 days a week without it. So what I had at college was some Apple computers. I think they were Apple IIs. And they had a printer that looked quite like that one. Was yours a Star printer? I think there was a brand called Star. And we had Star printers at college, but I didn't. Because Mum said, you know, why go for a black and white one when you can go for a colour one? And she insisted they had the colour printer. Couldn't afford to print anything, but I had a colour printer that I could actually use. Oh, that is amazing. I think it's really nice to look back. What we'll have to do heading up to Christmas is take a picture of our setups. Oh, that's when I got my first laptop, Kim. I remember it was 1999, bought it from Time Computers, which was in Bradford, I think. Was it Bradford? No, Blackburn. It was in Blackburn. It was quite chunky by today's, the LC10, that was it, the Star LC10. Those were the printers we had at college. I could remember the Star, but not the LC10. But it did look like that. But you've got that on a shelf, haven't you? Ours were just shoved on the floor, I think. But that was the printer to have. Oh, fabulous. There's a memory. Paul had one as well. I think everybody had that but me. Were they in Bolton? I thought they were. They might have been in Bolton, but they might have been registered in Blackburn. But I actually remember going to the store to buy that one. And I did buy it from the Bolton branch of Time Computers next to the Reebok Stadium, which isn't the Reebok anymore, is it? It's the Middlebrook Stadium, but it gets called different names when they get different sponsors. So at the moment, it's the University of Bolton Stadium. But let's all just call it Middlebrook and be done. Then we know where we're talking about. That was where I got my first one. And my second one, I went travelling over to Huddersfield for one that had a pen with it that you could flip the screen. And that was an Acer. That was amazing. That was amazing. What is amazing to think, I only had two Windows laptops. And my next laptop was a Mac. And I would never have believed that. It was on a stand, so you put the paper under it. Yeah, I don't think we had the posh model. I think we had the paper just strewn at the back. But you know, they were actually ahead of their time, those printers. They really were. I remember doing... I had an Epson... two Epsons, actually. I had a DX100, which was a daisy wheel printer. The quality of the print was stunning. And I had another one, which was a dot matrix and was much more like the Star. But I can't remember why I ended up with the Epson. It was probably on offer or something. Oh, my. So Kim says, couldn't afford a computer in college. Had to steal computer time from the medical school. That's what we had to do. We had to book time at college. They didn't have enough computers to go around for everybody, nowhere near. So you had to book it, and you could only book it a certain amount of time in hand. So you'd arrive there like the day before you needed it at 6:30, and then you'd leg it upstairs. You had to book it actually in the computer lab, which was up, I think it was 16 flights of stairs. And at the time there was no lift, which is criminal. It's criminal. It's criminal now, but it was criminal back then, because my friend was in a wheelchair, and he had very severe disabilities. I think it wasn't spina bifida, but whatever it was, he was very tiny. So he was only about a little bit like Warwick Davis, but he couldn't walk. So to get up 16 flights of stairs, he would not let his dad. He would drive in and his dad would carry the wheelchair. But he insisted that he got up those stairs by himself. And he would do it by sitting backwards on the stairs and then putting his hands on the stair behind him and pulling himself up. And he went up 16 flights of stairs like that because there was no lift. I remember it kicked off. The student union were like, we can't have Peter doing this. It's ludicrous. But his dad would say to him, you know, I'll carry you. And he wouldn't. He would not let his dad carry him up these stairs. He said, you know, I'm doing a professional law degree and I'm not letting people see me being carried about like a baby. Needless to say, there was a lift put in after that. But the rest of us had to, you know, I would book his computer time for him because by the time he'd got up the stairs, it was probably the next day anyway. He would have to arrive at college at 7:00 to get into a lecture at 9:00 because it was tiring going up the stairs like that. I admire him so much for that. And so did everybody else. It was so funny because people would run about from lecture to lecture. But if they knew that he was needing those stairs and he needed sort of a bit of space so nobody's treading on his fingers, they'd all use the other stairs. There were two stairs, one at the south side of the building and one at the north. And they left him to it. They all used the other one, which I thought was really sweet. He was amazing. He really was. It was comical, actually. Comical with him. The one thing with him, he did not like spending money. And I mean at all. And we had this kind of, you know, like thing going on with like, oh, let's look at the engagement rings. And I'm like, no, let's not. And he went and he looked at these engagement rings. He was like, that one's not bad. And it was like, I mean, it wasn't cheap, you know, it was about £5,000. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And he's like, no, wouldn't you like one like that? And this was how we went on with each other. He then bought, I mean, I won't say the family were like that, but they were like that. They would, you know, when you go out and you have tea and they give you like two sugars, they take the sugars home. So this particular time we'd been out, we looked at these engagement rings. Well, we weren't looking at them, obviously. We weren't even going out. But this was what it was like. I think he was trying to test the waters. And this particular day, we spotted this ring and it's like 5,000. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? Then he'd look at one at 2,000 and say, but that's just as nice. Right, yeah, whatever. But he then bought a car. This was 1988, 89, something like that. Long, long time ago. This car was £26,000 back then. And I'm like, that's more than a Rolls Royce. So the next time we're out, we went to Brighton and we were looking at an area called, oh, what is it called? The somethings, the lanes in Brighton. And they're all little quaint shops. And there was this jeweller. So needless to say, true to form, stopped at the jeweller's. Look at the pretty engagement rings. And I thought, right, I've got you this time. So I said, oh, yes, let's look at the pretty engagement rings. And he's like, that one's nice, isn't it? And I said, hmm. And he was like, which one would you say yes to? So I thought, I've definitely got him. So I read all the seriousness. I went, let me have a look. And I looked at them all and I went, whichever one it would be. And he was literally leaning out of his chair at this point. I went, it would have to cost more than the guy's car. I'll leave you with that. And he went absolutely white. So apparently he would spend £26,000 on a car, but not on an engagement ring. Guys, what is wrong with you? You know, really, the car would have gone long before the marriage if you've done it right, is what I would say. Good job we're only playing around. Maybe he wasn't playing around, but you know what? I was playing around. Oh, no, that wasn't happening then. Very, very funny anyway. It was just the look on his face. That had never crossed his mind. Never crossed his mind. It is 1995, good grief. And there's still places, you know. There's still places. We have a golf club local to us. I'm sure I've mentioned it. It's a beautiful place. And that the function room that they have upstairs is absolutely gorgeous. The food's fantastic. And they have this balcony where they like roll the doors back so it's completely open and it overlooks the golf course. And we had President Sunday there it'd be 2016 now. And I said to Mike, this is gorgeous. Wow. Monograms on the plates, you name it. It was gorgeous. So when we were coming up to Mike's P year, it was, oh, well, you know, there's a golf club. That golf club was really nice. And Mike got onto them and I said, and don't forget Ellen. Now, Ellen's Stuart's wife, and she had a stroke, I think it was 2017. So it was after we'd been there. And she's in a wheelchair. So I said, don't forget Ellen. You know, if they can't do something with a wheelchair, we're not going. It's as simple as that. That's like just a given with us. So he gets on and he comes off the phone and he's purple, incandescent with rage. And he said, there's no lift. And I said, oh, but so there's just these stairs. So I said, well, how do people get? Well, they don't, he said, but that wasn't the bit that annoyed me. And when he said, like, well, are you thinking of putting one in? The answer came back, and they are actually telling potential customers this publicly. They don't need it because it's a private club. If it was public, then they would. But even so, but what they actually said to him was, yes, the committee did discuss that, and they decided that if you're playing golf, you're not disabled, so we don't need it. I said to Mike, don't just cross them off the list for President Sunday. I said, just cross them off the list. I said, I don't care if they put a gold-plated lift in the next week. I'm not going if that's their attitude, which that's shocking. That is shocking. I mean, some of the tales that Stuart can tell is just incredible. The one where we went and there was a koi pond with live koi in it, they had to go through the kitchen because there were steps. There was a little bridge with steps over the koi pond and he couldn't take Ellen over there. So they had to go out the kitchen on that one. And there's other situations like that. One of them said, we're fully compliant. And this was Ellen's first trip. And we got to this place and I said, you know, this fully compliant. And somebody went, yeah. I said, what about these 12 steps on the way up? And they had to carry her. Which it's undignified, it's unseemly. So again, I said to Mike, you can cross that place off. And he said, why, what was wrong with it? And I said, it was too small, the food was appalling. I said, and they had to carry Ellen up the steps. So I went, yeah, annihilated, not having that one. And you're quite right, Kim, the rock lasts forever. That's the whole point. I take a car out and it just downhill all the way in value. So why bother? Oh, anyway, end of another week. We are officially going into week 26, which is 6 months. And we're still in tight lockdown. And to make matters worse, if you remember, we had, let me think, we were in lockdown, then out of lockdown, then in lockdown again. And then us and Bolton were coming out of lockdown. And then on Wednesday, we both got put back into lockdown. News today is Bolton are going into stricter lockdown. So whereas we were aiming for 3, and are currently at 2, Bolton are going back to 1, which is about as strict as you can get. No public transport, basically you don't leave the house. So if that's happening to Bolton, we need to wait and see how our figures are doing and see if that's the way we're heading as well. Not good. They are, Anthony. I have been to golf clubs, not by choice, you know, other people's ladies' nights, and the ladies can't order a drink at the bar. You have to wait for a gentleman to go. 2020. Yeah. If I'd have known that before we got there, I wouldn't have bothered or have taken a bottle. They are very much behind the times. But I just thought the attitude of, well, if you're playing golf, you're not disabled. But what about family members? And surely people who are playing golf and have paid into that club for years and years, they get older and their legs aren't as good. And then they're still a member, but they're not playing. Short-sighted, as far as I'm concerned. You've never left stage 2. Well, we're unceremoniously back in it. I think we're going to be here for a long, long time. I think we're going to have one trip out of the house in the next 6 months. And that's only because Mike's dad, they're having the stone laying ceremony. And I don't fancy that, depending on how many people are there. I need to socially distance myself from that. But I can't really say I'm not going, can I? Unless we literally can't go out. At the moment, you know, it's 6 in a group. So whether the stone laying will actually happen is a completely different business. So I have no idea. I totally agree, Anthony. If a member of the committee had had a stroke, needed to use a wheelchair, they would have put a lift in. Thing was, they had the space. They actually had like 2 pillars. And when the place was built, it was like, do you want a lift in? And it was no, because it would have been very expensive. And it was probably built in the 60s. But what they did was, when they were designing these golf clubs, very many of them were putting a lift in. So there was a standard design for the golf club. So they put the stairs in, and next to the stairs, there is literally like what looks like a wall, but it's actually a cube, 2 cubes next to each other. So you could actually take out the wall at the front and you've got 2 lift shafts. They just never put the lift in. Well, really? How much more of a shove in the right direction do you need? But no, they decided not to. And the one that did have a lift, that was a farce. They were trying to get like 4 people in this lift. You can't get 4 people in it. And when you get the wheelchair in, you can't turn it round. So it was literally, you've got to push the wheelchair in, and then the person with the person in the chair, he stood behind them. They can't turn around either because it's not big enough. And when you get to the other end, you've got to back out of it. It's that tiny. Your friend's just put a lift in a house. Ellen's got one of those stair lift things. It's fabulous. She keeps Orville on it. Orville goes up and down all day. It actually broke a few weeks back and they had to have somebody in to fix it. But it was a quick fix, apparently. But a proper lift would be fabulous, wouldn't it? You know, when you're moving furniture and things. My mother decided to take a chest freezer up to the first floor. Don't ask. Didn't end well. That's what the mirroring lifts is for. Yeah, you're quite right. They did face each other. Why do they put a mirror in lifts? That's a very good point. Most lifts you go in, there's a mirror. I'm thinking, yep, you're quite right. Maybe it is. Maybe it's for people who find it like a little bit claustrophobic, make it look a bit bigger. But if you're claustrophobic, you're not going to get in a lift. Ah, never mind. So, week 26, starting tomorrow. Without spilling any beans, you won't want to miss tomorrow's show. Just saying. That's it, so you can reverse out. It would be far better, though, wouldn't it? There's the other kind of lift, you know, where you go in from one side and you come out the other. There's like 2 doors that always confuses everybody because they've got the trolleys in there. There's that kind as well. I don't think they're big enough for that. Definitely don't think they're big enough for that. My lips are sealed, Kim, but I'm not saying no. Let's see how that goes. Mike's got to get back first, but we'll see how it goes. But for the moment, I will say goodnight from me. I will say goodnight on behalf of Mike, and we will both see you next time. Stay safe, guys. Why on earth is that on there? Good grief, I nearly played you Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. I've no idea how that happened, but let's have the right thing.